breaking news. Coronavirus on the Jason Rant Show.
We continue our live coverage on KTTH, our extended coverage. My show will go into 7 o'clock, followed by an hour of special anchoring by Todd Herman. We've got a lot of moving parts over the course of the last several hours that have fallen into place. First, let's talk about what's going to happen at 5:30. We expect that Governor Jay Inslee is going to announce via a statewide address some kind of stay-at-home declaration. We expect it to be very similar to what we saw in California last week. What that means for you if the governor ends up declaring a shelter-in-place or stay-at-home directive, it basically means most likely some more businesses are going to be closed. The direction will be, yet again, do not leave your home unless you absolutely have to. And what does it mean to absolutely have to leave? It means not that the sun is out and you want to go to the beach. What it means is if you got to go grocery food shopping, if you have to go to a doctor's appointment, if you have to pick up your prescription, then you're fine. You're clear and he's okay with you doing that. Although you should still practice self-distancing, social distancing of at least 6 feet. They're doing that because we have not yet hit the point on the curve where we're starting to see it flatten. We talk about flattening the curve. What does that mean? So the curve upward means more infections and with it, more death. Now, the mortality rate is still very low. That's good news. But at some point, if you don't flatten that curve, what you're going to do is overwhelm the hospital system here, the healthcare system, not just in Seattle, not just in Tacoma, not just in Spokane and Everett, but all across the state of Washington. And the more people you have sick who end up going into an emergency room means not only are they overburdened at a time where they don't yet have all of the equipment in place, although the president just announced over the course of that 2-hour press conference that a ton of N95 masks are on the way to Washington State. But if you've got a run on these hospitals, not only does it mean worse healthcare for the coronavirus victims, but also worse healthcare for the people who are going in for everyday things like having a heart attack, having a stroke. And if we get to that point, we're going to see a lot more of the numbers that we don't want to see, which is deaths. That's why we're taking this so seriously. That's why the governor finally is making this announcement. Now, part of the reason I say finally is because last week he very clearly wanted to do this. But he gave folks out there in Washington one last weekend to abide by their recommendations. Recommendations not just coming from Governor Jay Inslee, but recommendations coming from public health experts and recommendations coming from the Trump administration. We got the latest numbers of Washington State coronavirus victims, 19 deaths since the last time we checked. That takes us to 110 deaths statewide due to the coronavirus. At the same time, we now have over 2,200 confirmed cases in the state of Washington. We are no longer the hot spot that we once were, although we remain a hot spot. The state of New York has taken over that position. They are seeing a very, very high contagion rate. Part of it is because of how densely populated they are. In fact, Dr. Deborah Birx, during that press conference just moments ago, said they had a contagion rate of 1 in 1,000 in New York City. 28% of the people who go in for a test, test positive. Now, when you look at the rest of the country, it's actually 8%. But in New York City, again, for a variety of reasons, including, by the way, people not listening and staying indoors, they have a higher rate than the national average. We got some more details coming from Dr. Deborah Birx tonight. She said no child under 15 has died from the coronavirus. There was one exception in China, and that was someone who had a underlying health condition. I believe that that person had cancer. I believe it was leukemia. She went on to say that 99% of the mortality out of Europe is in the 50-plus crowd with pre-existing conditions. So it backs up what we already know or believe we know about this crisis. The vice president announced today that self-swabbing options are going to be available sometime this week to market, which is a huge move by the Trump administration. But just because it's going to be on market does not mean you're going to get one immediately. In fact, unless you actually think you need to be tested, they don't want you or anybody taking up any of the time from doctors unless you need it. If you don't have symptoms, for example, but you're kind of wondering, well, I wonder if I'm sick. If you have those concerns because maybe you live with someone who is immune compromised, maybe you live with people who are older, have a conversation with your doctor while also practicing the social distancing techniques, washing your hands constantly, doing all the things you need to do to be responsible, and have a conversation with your doctor. But if you live alone and you're like, I think I got a scratchy throat, let me go check. Do not waste their time if you're already self-isolating on top of everything. Because you're not that much of a risk. If you think you're at risk, you have a conversation with your doctor. We heard President Trump say that the N95 masks were coming to Seattle. Over the weekend, the FDA made a change in procedure, allowing for surgical ventilators to be converted from ERs and hospitals that were not specifically catering towards the needs of coronavirus patients. These were ones that anesthesiologists, for example, were using. And so after this move by the FDA, they're saying we may have even more ventilators than we thought because now we can move forward with this. Attorney General Bill Barr spoke earlier today. He gave some guidance on the Defense Production Act, which basically says that the U.S. government can tell a U.S. manufacturer, hey, you have to turn off what it is you're doing and you have to create these items for personal protective. So you have to make gloves, you have to make ventilators. But the president over the weekend didn't necessarily want to do that, force any company to do that, because number one, not every company is capable of doing it. And number two, he has a philosophical or ideological reason against nationalizing our services. And he said, look, we've got companies that are coming forward, like Hanes, coming forward and say, you know what, we're going to do this for you. We're going to help out. But Attorney General Barr did mention specifically he's seeing evidence of hoarding and price gouging. And under the Defense Production Act, they've announced via an executive order to combat both practices, punish people who are choosing to do that at this time. So there are a lot of moving parts today. Again, if you're just joining us at 5:30, we are going to carry live, uninterrupted. In fact, we're going to be commercial-free up until 8 p.m. tonight. We're going to carry the statewide address coming from Governor Jay Inslee, where we expect he's going to announce a stay-at-home directive similar to the one in California. That's not been confirmed yet, but we do expect it. And as we get to that, we're going to talk through a whole bunch of issues, including Dr. Don Chiffrin's going to stop by. He's a pediatrician who's going to talk about the impact of the coronavirus on kids. And we're going to jump into conversations about what's going on in the city of Bellingham, where there was a controversy as to whether or not they were using the coronavirus crisis to institute a gun ban. But before that, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? At home.
Earlier today, Boeing announced they were closing down their production facilities. Joining me in studio with more is our friend Chris Sullivan from our sister station, Cairo Radio. Take us through this. This obviously comes a couple days after the announcement from the mayor of Everett that they are doing a stay-at-home directive.
And also coming a day after we found out that the first Boeing Everett employee to die from the coronavirus that was released. And I'm going back through some of the history books here, Jason, to try to figure this is so unprecedented. I'm not sure if the Boeing plant has ever had a full-on lock-the-doors production shutdown like we are going to see come Wednesday. This is a 14-day suspension of production across all lines. We've had line production shutdowns before. I mean, like the MAX currently shut down, the 87 when we had the issues with the batteries there. But a full lockdown shutdown on all production, I'm not sure if that has ever happened. This is huge news for the people of the state of Washington and for our economy, really.
Well, it's happening on a day that in just a couple hours, 5:30, we expect the governor's going to announce some kind of directive to stay at home or shelter in place. We'll get those details in play for you live when it happens. But this couldn't come at a worse time for Boeing, where they're already dealing with the 737 MAX issues.
And I'm wondering, and again, I don't have any inside knowledge about this, but I think that was one of the reasons why maybe the plants or the company decided not to shut the plants down earlier, even though a lot of people had said we would like the workers, especially
workers
saying,
were complaining.
Really, you know, they're like, we don't really think they're handling this the right way. And that was because not only did we see the stock tanking. I mean, from $370 a month ago to trading under $100 lately, plus, you know, the max issues. I'm not sure if they want it could take another hit like that. And that's maybe why. I can't say that for sure, but that's some of the speculation I've heard from employees. I mean, I live in Snohomish County. My wife works for the Boeing company at the Everett plant. She's been working remotely. And the way this thing is going to break down is people like my wife or others who have been working remotely or can work remotely will continue to work that way during this 14-day, they're calling it a suspension of service. Now, the employees that can't work from home, i.e. machinists, you know, people working on the actual airplanes and the production facilities, they are actually going to get a 10-day paid leave as part of this, which is double what Boeing normally does in these certain situations. So at least that's good that they're throwing some money because, as we have always said throughout the years, I mean, what is it? One Boeing employee trickles down to four jobs. Roughly, it's probably less than that now with the growth of, you know, the big techs and the dot-coms and whatnot. But this is huge, and to provide them at least a little, because if those machinists aren't getting a check over those 10
they're
to 14 days,
any money
they're
the
not
community.
Getting takeout from the little restaurant that's barely hanging on in Snohomish County. So, yeah, this is huge.
Chris Sullivan joining me in studio. We're talking about the temporary shutdown of the Boeing facilities in Everett. Is this also Renton? This is all across
the state? Oh, it's
everything.
Yeah, so it's all across every Boeing facility.
The country.
Yeah. Well, in Puget Sound, I mean, they'd already shut down a plant in Louisiana. They'd already shut down a few others around. But here in Washington, in Puget Sound, it's all of their operations.
So, you know, I suppose the silver lining in all of this is an issue that the president is very, very well aware of. He has called out Boeing many times saying, we're going to make you a good company again. It's not to say that they're not a quote-unquote good company. It's that very clearly they're struggling financially right now. When planes aren't in the air, when they're not flying, when we've basically cut down all of this travel, it means there's not really a need to create more planes.
That is correct, especially since Boeing hadn't really gotten much of any orders at all this entire year because of the issues they were dealing with the MAX, which, as we all know, the 737
slam.
Is the bell cow of this. And you talk about no planes in the air. This weekend, I had to go down to Tacoma, and I drove back and forth from Everett to Tacoma. I saw one jet in the SeaTac pattern.
Wow.
That's really eerie and odd, almost 9/11 type.
Post 9/11,
time where you look up and there's just nothing in the air. And so, it's kind of a double whammy for Boeing. I'm glad that the CEO and the head of the board of directors on Friday said we're not taking our pay, our compensation this year. I'm sure that'll probably help them in the bailout issue. I know there's some people who are like, well, geez, your CEO shouldn't take money when you're whatever. They're not taking their money.
That
but
is
they're
just noise.
But they are paying their employees right now, which is good and vital for our economy here in the state.
One side issue to this is also Payne Field in Everett, which is going to be feeling the pain as well. I mean, this is a regional airport. They're already not doing as much as a SeaTac. You can argue SeaTac will certainly be fine, even though the city of SeaTac has taken a significant hit. But Payne Field, any update on that?
No, I mean they're still scheduling planes that are flying out of there. We live in the flight pattern up there in Snohomish County. We see a couple of planes going by. In fact, the one plane I saw on that trip between Everett and Tacoma on Saturday, I think, was a delivery of a new United plane, a 777-300 or something like that, that was just taking off and going to United. But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, for a fledgling thing that had seemed to be taking off as well as it had been. I mean, I love flying out of Payne Field as a person
Everyone
who lives in Snohomish County.
It's
fabulous. So I know we'll just see as the whole, I mean, people aren't flying and as the industry constricts a little bit. And gosh, I hope this thing only lasts 14 days at the Boeing plants, but that seems pretty optimistic to me that it would only take that long, but we'll see how it goes.
Yes, we'll see. And, you know, also, folks at home, don't conflate this 14 days or anything that might get announced today by the governor with the national 15-day plan that the president put out. 15 days might be good enough for the entire country as a whole, and we will expect the president either to extend it by a few days or report some good results. But we still have a hot spot here in Washington. We're no longer the main hot spot. It's now New York and California. But we're still up there in the number three or number four slot. So whatever happens nationally does not necessarily mean we're in the clear.
Especially since the way what they're talking, that we're like, 10 to 12 days behind what was actually happening versus when we're getting our testing results back. I mean, we have 24 confirmed Boeing employees in Puget Sound, including the one fatality. But that number is probably going to go up too, because
that you have right now,
we're about
is,
2 weeks behind,
yes,
it sounds like.
Every number that you've seen in the course of the last couple weeks is too low. We're were very clearly, I mean, you go into New York, which has seen now tens of thousands of positive cases or suspected positive cases as they await their other results. We've seen across the country 36,000 as of this morning. Those are small. Now, the good news in all of this is as those numbers rise, so long as the death rates don't rise
exactly
with them, it brings the mortality rate lower. And
we
it just
get the denominator working for us.
Which is, you know, it's always been the case. No one ever thought that this pandemic was killing hundreds of thousands of people. But, you know, when you have the number, you can use it. It is calming. And it's just another reminder, you don't need to panic. You need to be concerned. You need to take precautions. You need to take this seriously, but you don't need to panic.
No, and I mean, you do need to stay home if you need to. I mean, if you want to go out for a walk with your wife or your husband or your dog or your kid or whatever, do it. Just make sure you don't tell the entire neighborhood and you go out as a group of 50.
Yeah, is what I saw over the course of the last weekend. You go, we just talked about it. Alki Beach was just a
rattlesnake
mess.
Ridge.
It's just unbelievable. How many people are choosing to go? And you know what? Granted, the sun is out, so all the rules are off. No. That's not how it can work right now.
No, you're
making this worse. You're forcing whatever the governor announces today. And again, I expect that we're going to have a stay-at-home directive. Oregon already announced theirs, so we're almost certainly going to get that. Let's all remember that you forced his hand. And I'm not someone who will stick up for Jay Inslee unnecessarily. I think in this case, he very clearly on Friday said, please, guys, it was very, very clear. Stop this. You have to take this seriously or you're going to force me to take extreme measures. This is an extreme measure that we expect to happen. I'll leave you the last word.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you kind of, it almost felt like a dad or a mom on Friday, the governor going,
grandpa.
Listen,
it was grandpa.
Listen, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. Don't make me
do
this.
He's literally turning the car around.
Yeah, don't make me do this. Yeah. And people still went out, and I think he's just got to go, listen.
Dummies.
You guys didn't listen to me.
And in Westport with the clam digging, it's like, come on, guys, unbelievable.
They have finally shut down the Washington beaches. I mean, the world's longest beach sign there in Long Beach got police tape all over it. The approaches to the,
stay away.
Yeah, it's just, no, maybe we'll get some more rain this week like we're, and people will just be forced back into their holes like we're supposed to.
For more on this Boeing report, go to our parent website, mynorthwest.com. Chris Sullivan, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime, Jason.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? At home.
So the governor is set to speak in about 10 minutes in an address to the state of Washington. We expect some kind of stay-at-home order to be put out there along the lines of what we've seen in California. The question is, will there be any enforcement? Joining me live on the line, Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. Sheriff Fortney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How's it going?
It's going well. Like you and like a lot of other people, we're waiting to find out what the governor is going to say, although we have a general sense of what it is. Have you had any contact with the governor's office as far as enforcement?
No, not with the governor's office, but we're working. I got to be honest, county government's working pretty well together. We have our emergency operations center. We're partially activated and up and running, so we're in constant contact with them every day. We have a phone conference every day, so I would say we're up to speed. I don't personally have direct contact with the governor, no, so I'm waiting anxiously like everybody else is for the press conference, and that's when we all find out what his decision is.
So what is your expectation at this point? We have a piece up right now at KTTH.com. I got a memo that was essentially sent to sheriffs like yourself and police chiefs all across the state with some guidance, and they seem to be getting ready for a stay-at-home order.
I got to think he's going that route. I do. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I don't have any inside information whatsoever. I'll find out at the press conference, but I got to think he's going to go that route. I don't know if it will be tonight or some other day during the week, but it sure seems to be trending in that direction, though.
Sheriff Fortney, assuming he offers the shelter-in-place position now, will you enforce it? Will the sheriff's department enforce?
Well, it depends on what you mean by enforce. If you think we're going to be out there in neighborhoods checking for people who are violating a stay-at-home order, no, absolutely not. We're not going to be doing that kind of stuff. I mean, we're trying to keep this COVID-19 out of our jail and things like that. And so we back off on some arrests and things like that. We're still in business. We're still operating. But we're not about to drive around through our communities and look for people violating the stay-at-home order, especially when, I mean, he has the authority to do it. And I'm going to support him totally because I think it probably should be done at this point. But you're still going to be allowed to drive for medical reasons. You're going to be allowed to drive to the grocery store to get groceries and things like that. So I don't think it would be productive. It's not even doable to have local law enforcement you know, at different areas checking for papers and things like that. This is the United States of America, and I don't foresee that happening.
So what happens when you or your deputies see a whole bunch of people getting together at a park, which is very clearly not adhering to the guidance of social distancing? Would you guys intervene and at least say, okay, let's move it along. You can't really be here.
Oh, if the governor puts out that order tonight or sometime this week, I would think yes, absolutely. I think it could be something as simple as drive up and get on your PA and say, okay, guys, time's done. Time to get in your houses and things like that. We're just not going to be out, you know, actively looking for singular violations or thinking or something like that. That's just not what we do.
There you go. Sheriff Fortney, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Absolutely. Again, the governor is expected to speak at 5:30. We will be carrying that live. In the meantime, I know a lot of you have other questions about the coronavirus, particularly as it relates to your health. So let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the East Side?
The coronavirus can absolutely impact kids, but so far we've not seen data suggesting they're at risk of mortality the way that we're seeing with senior citizens. Helping me talk through what we're learning about the impact coronavirus has on children's longtime Eastside pediatrician. He's a clinical professor of pediatrics at the UW, Dr. Don Chiffrin. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
So first, let's talk just big picture. How does the coronavirus impact the health of otherwise healthy kids?
Well, kids are at risk to get coronavirus just like adults. The specifics of how they get it is that they become very less symptomatic than most adults. They have a little sniffle, maybe a little cough, sometimes a little fever. But for some reason, and we have yet to define what that reason is, their immune system seems to be a little more optimized to fight this particular virus than adults. One of the postulations or the theories about this is that perhaps they've been exposed to coronaviruses over the years as mild colds, and thereby may have some cross reaction with this novel or new coronavirus that's been coming into the country.
So if that, let's live in a world in which that assumption is true or that postulation is true, why then would it not be the same for me or you?
Well, the interesting thing is that as we get older, our immune systems get, shall we say, a little less efficient. So this is why they're the theory about why the elderly or the immunocompromised are having much more difficulties with coronavirus than other young people. For instance, youngsters from, let's say, 15 to 30 are very much less affected as are children. When the information came out of Wuhan about the first 171 children that were patients in the Wuhan hospitals, only one of those patients died. It was a 10-month-old with surgical problems. And the other youngsters that were in intensive care, only two made it to intensive care. And they were immunocompromised, and one of them had leukemia. But there's no question that if we're looking at children that are more at risk because of their immune systems, it would be kids that are younger, babies under the age of a year, and anyone who is immunocompromised under cancer therapy or has cardiovascular or pulmonary, shall we say, compromises, things like severe asthma or severe lung injury from being a premature baby. So those are youngsters that we would want to take extra precautions with for sure.
Just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Don Chiffrin. He's clinical professor of pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine. He's also the spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics. You know, when we're talking about the reason why we closed down schools and other spots that kids might use, it's not so much that we're talking about their health impacts of the coronavirus, although, of course, that is a concern. It's more about them becoming a vector of disease for the demographic that is more at risk of mortality.
Well, that's so very important for us to emphasize that children, they are social. They're social creatures. We're all hardwired to be social. It's very difficult to keep them apart from family members, especially elderly family members like grandparents. So we're urging parents to use all of the wonderful internet connections to maintain social contacts with their family and friends, especially grandparents, every day, perhaps a special time, whether it's FaceTime, whether it's Zoom video, whether it's Skyping with grandparents so that they can maintain those contacts. Because right now, physical contact would be ill-advised because children can be asymptomatic and still pass infection. And that is because they're constantly using their hands around their face, and the virus can be transmitted person to person.
And to be clear for folks at home, this is on you at this point. This is not necessarily on the kid. The kid's going to want to hang out with you. You need to be the adult and say, no, at this point, it's just not necessarily safe. And I'll give you the last word, Dr. Shiffrin.
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics acknowledges all of the stresses that parents face as these coronavirus cases come to the forefront in America, not only just financial, emotional, but also stresses in being isolated and becoming a little depressed because of the isolation. So we want parents and caregivers to take care of themselves physically, eat healthy, get some exercise, go outside with your kids. If you can find a field and it's not so windy or rainy, find a field and play a little soccer with them, get enough sleep, but also maintain a nice schedule for the kids that are at home, especially when it surrounds their schoolwork, find a good place with less distractions. So this is an understandable time to be anxious, but everyone needs support, and parents have to be their kids' champions both in and out of the home. So we're hopeful that this is going to come to a logical conclusion soon, but we don't have any time frame. So for the time being, we want parents to be aware that they're going to reassure their kids that their kids are going to be safe and, of course, emphasize that hand washing.
Dr. Don Shiffrin, clinical professor of pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine, spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics, by the way, is also the voice of the Academy's Minute for Kids on CBS Radio out in Chicago. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care out there.
You as well. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
Breaking news. Coronavirus on The Jason Rantz Show.
So in the next minute or so, the governor is set to address the state. We expect that we're going to get a shelter in place or a stay at home directive. What that looks like is still unknown. The governor on Friday of last week told the state of Washington, please, please, please listen to our warnings. Do not go outside if you don't have to. Keep your travel down. And what we saw over the weekend were a whole bunch of people deciding to go to area parks and beaches, whether it's Westport for some clam digging or whether it's going to Alki Beach because the sun is out. A lot of people decided not to heed the public health warnings despite the warnings coming from the governor. And so what we expect today is the governor at the very minimum is going to announce some new restrictions on what it is that is acceptable during this coronavirus crisis. Now, he specifically said earlier on today that they were looking to additional potential restrictions. Again, what we expect to have happen is the governor tonight explaining that we are going to do a stay-at-home directive. What that generally means is this. You should not leave your home unless it's necessary. Going to work, according to a stay-at-home directive, means it's not yet necessary. Here is Governor Jay Inslee.
That threatens to overwhelm our society without decisive action. We've now confirmed that more than 2,000 Washingtonians have contracted the virus, and there are likely thousands more that have not yet been diagnosed. COVID-19 has taken more than 100 lives in our state, and that's a number that will continue to rise, unfortunately. We know our hearts ache for all of the Washingtonians and their families affected by this virus. And as we move forward, we cannot forget the losses that those families have suffered. This is a human tragedy on a scale we cannot yet project. So it's time to hunker down in order to win this fight. So tonight, I am issuing a stay-home order to fight this virus. This is Washington's stay home, stay healthy order. This includes a ban on all gatherings and closures of many businesses, unless those businesses are essential to the healthy functioning of our community or are able to let employees work remotely from home. It is still safe to go outside using social distancing of 6 feet, but really only for essential purposes. The grocery stores, doctor's offices, and other essential businesses will remain open. This also does not prohibit people from merely going outside to enjoy a walk on a sunny spring day. So life will go on, but for all of us in every part of Washington, it has to do so with this in mind. Stay home. Stay healthy. The less time you spend out in public, the more lives we can save. The more time we can buy to fight the waves of this virus coming down on us now and in the immediate future. I'd like to talk with you about this order and what it means for you and your loved ones and our communities. This order builds on other unprecedented steps we have had to take to protect Washingtonians already, including the closure of schools, restaurants, entertainment venues, and other businesses where people congregate. We've been thoughtful and deliberate in making these very tough choices. And I've been very clear on the need for Washingtonians to stay home already. But I have heard from health professionals, local officials, and others that people still aren't practicing these precautions. And that is one of the reasons why we have to take these steps. These measures are more stringent, and our goal is the same: to reduce social interactions, physical interactions, where this highly contagious virus can spread. This weapon, distancing ourselves, is the only weapon against this virus. And we have proven that it can work, but only if we actually use it. Now, here's what this order will do. Effective for a minimum of 2 weeks, it essentially requires every Washingtonian to minimize physical contact with others unless they're pursuing some essential activities, like grocery shopping, going to a doctor's appointment, or the pharmacy, or if they work at a business deemed essential to the continued functioning during an emergency. So this does not mean you can't go outside. If you feel like going for a walk, gardening, going for a bike ride, we consider these things essential activity too for everyone's physical and mental health. We all just need to practice social distancing of at least 6 feet to protect ourselves and others everywhere, all the time. This order will immediately ban all gatherings of people for social, spiritual, and recreational purposes. This includes events that affect the old and the young in our state. If you want to have parties on the beach or play pickup basketball at the park or have sleepovers, these are no longer allowed for at least a couple weeks. This also applies to some of the most important gatherings in people's lives, like weddings and funerals. For the sake of all, even these occasions have to be postponed. So 48 hours from now, this order will close many businesses in our state, excluding those deemed essential in these times, or businesses where employees can work remotely without coming into contact with others, physical contact, that is. If a non-essential workplace can close now, it should. Some businesses are essential and are not being closed by this order. We've chosen these essential businesses based largely on federal guidelines. Essential businesses and personnel not limited by this order include those that help us fight this outbreak, including emergency services, healthcare industries, critical manufacturing, child care providers, food and agriculture, transportation, financial services, defense industries, and critical local government operations, including courts. And the media will continue to operate as well. The media have just been absolutely critical to keep all of us informed about this virus. Now, of course, we care about all employees. So any essential business or entity allowed to operate under this order must implement rules that help facilitate social distancing of at least 6 feet. And I should also say to our many struggling restaurants, this order does not stop you from providing to-go and delivery service, as many of restaurants are currently doing. Many of Washington's sovereign tribal governments around our state have already implemented similar measures and other important steps. They've been exceptional partners in this effort. Now, we expect everyone in our state to comply with these orders voluntarily. For a simple fact, it's because everyone knows that all of our loved ones are at risk here. But make no mistake, this order is enforceable by law and can be enforced. And we know that to be socially irresponsible in these times is to risk the lives of our loved ones. The rapid growth in the number of cases has put our state really in a race against time. We need to grow hospital capacity or else face an even greater public health emergency. And the more of us who stay home, the fewer of us who will be infected by COVID-19, and the more lives that will be saved. Now, this is a very difficult choice. And I make this difficult choice knowing it will add to the economic and family hardship many in our state are already feeling as we try to slow and turn back this pandemic. But we need to think about it in these terms. We want to get back to normal as soon as possible. We do not want this lingering intrusion in our lives. And the fastest way to get back to normal is to hit this hard. And that's what we're doing. Why? Because Washingtonians want to get back to business as soon as possible. So to address this, last week I told you about steps we're taking to relieve economic impacts of affected Washingtonians. We continue the search for ways to mitigate the economic impacts of this pandemic on the lives of our 7 million residents. You can learn more about what state assistance is available by visiting coronavirus.wa.gov. And I cannot emphasize the following point strongly enough. For the sake of our neighbors, our health care workers, our seniors, and others, no one should make a run on the grocery stores to overstock. If each of us maintain our normal shopping habits, there's really not going to be any empty shelves. We feel good about this. So in these uncertain times, I'd encourage everyone to turn to whatever in their lives can bring them hope. What gives me hope are the stories of resilience and of action by individual Washingtonians to aid and comfort each other as we weather this crisis. I've heard stories like the school districts in Tacoma and Puyallup that are launching childcare services for our first responders and medical workers, professionals on the medical front who are working under enormous pressure on the front lines of this war against this virus. You know, these are the folks in some way are risking their lives for us. These are the current day heroes. And we know that those healthcare workers are going to work so we can stay home and be safe. Our childcare workers are a crucial support system in this struggle. And so they're going to work as well. They go to work at great risk to their health so we can stay at home. I'm also inspired by the story of a furniture factory in Mukilteo. It's now using its facilities to produce surgical masks and face shields for Providence healthcare workers to address the threat of protective equipment shortages. And in Yakima, where a small restaurant owner and business, he's only been in business 3 months before he got hit with this crisis. But he's now serving free brown bag lunches that seniors can pick up daily outside her restaurant. These are stories that can inspire all of us. We also know this. while we minimize our physical connections, it is essential that we maximize our emotional connections. We can all help our loved ones every day electronically. And we know this, fundamentally. This challenge is temporary. Schools will reopen. Weddings will happen. Factories will start again. And you'll be able to toast the end of this at your favorite hangout as soon as possible, because we are hitting this hard. But every single Washingtonian needs to enlist themselves in this tumultuous struggle if we are to win. We need every Washingtonian to be thoughtful and calm and compassionate, knowing for certain that we can get through this together. I'm reminded of the work of one of our great poets, Walt Whitman. In Song of Myself, he wrote, "Of the courage of present times and all times, of fighting through the storm with knuckles tight and not giving back an inch to save others consumed by the tides." We need this spirit now in our state. We need this now in our nation. Because life will be different in Washington for a while, but we will keep working until this pandemic is defeated. Until then, I make this promise to you, my fellow Washingtonians, and it's borrowed from the same great poet. Be of good cheer. We will not desert you. Stay home. Stay healthy. Thank you, and be well.
That was Governor Jay Inslee announcing the stay-at-home order, citing the rapid growth of coronavirus cases in Washington state. Governor Jay Inslee announces a stay-at-home order. What does this mean? How will it impact you? Well, it depends on what you do for a living. In a lot of ways, it depends on whether or not you live alone or with family members, whether you have kids. As of right now, we can tell you that there's going to be a closure of many businesses unless they're essential. He says that this is going to be in effect for at least 2 weeks. He said, yes, it is still safe to go outside, but you do have to make sure that you're practicing social distancing. You can go outside for essential services. You can go outside to go to the grocery store, to go to your doctor or a pharmacy, to go for a walk for exercise, so long as you are staying at least 6 feet away from other people. But he did announce that this is more stringent in what it is they're going to do. This is the latest order, of course, after a series of orders over the course of the last couple weeks. It's stringent because he's trying to reduce social, physical interactions where this virus can actually spread very, very quickly, very, very easily. He said that the only weapon that we have against the coronavirus is distancing ourselves. So in the immediate future, this means you're not going to a park or Alki Beach like you did over the weekend. Pickup basketball games, even, are no longer allowed. He went so far as to say not just weddings need to be postponed, but funerals as well. Now, this is going to close a lot of businesses, with the exception of businesses that, number one, can telecommute, offer telecommuting options, meaning businesses, if you are in an accountant's office and you can do all of that work from home, you can still operate. You just can't go into the actual office. But then number two, and this is the most important part, essential businesses are still allowed to operate. Those include healthcare services. Those include critical manufacturing, childcare providers, banks, financial services. Local governments can still be open. To-go restaurants and delivery options for restaurants, those are still available. And then, of course, the media is still able to operate. We have our special passes. We can get to and from the office when we want. We can also broadcast from our homes. So we're going to be with you every step of the way. In fact, to that point, we're going to be commercial-free up until 8 o'clock. My show will be extended an hour into the 7 o'clock hour, and then Todd Herman's going to take over for an hour at 7 p.m. So lots of you are going to have questions. Lots of you are going to wonder about the implications of all of this. We are here taking your text messages, if you have any questions, at 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. This stay-at-home order comes at a time where we've seen yet again an increase in the number of deaths statewide to 110 and confirmed cases of 2,221. Now, that number, both of those numbers, unfortunately, are going to continue to go up. The reason why the governor did this is we are in a position where we need to slow the curve, flatten the curve. Now, it's never going to be completely flattened until we get an actual treatment. But if all of a sudden there's a rush on hospitals due to people having the coronavirus, due to the portion, the demographic of individuals who are most at risk for mortality, mainly older people over the age of 50, and folks who are immunocompromised, having some kind of underlying health condition, especially if it's respiratory. If all of a sudden all those folks or a large portion of those people get sick at once and have to go into a hospital, we do not have the bed capacity to handle that. And that's a problem. That's a problem not just for the people who need immediate medical care because of the coronavirus, but anybody else who needs immediate care outside of the coronavirus. Say someone got into a bad car accident at the same time that an ER is filled with people who are in need of emergency care because they fall into the demographic of individuals who are most impacted. That could create a very, very, very dangerous environment for healthcare for everybody. We don't have bed capacity yet. The president over the weekend announced that we would be getting several essentially pop-up hospitals that would expand by at least 1,000 beds our capacity. So that's good news. The president also declared a major disaster in Washington State, which essentially, not to get too much into the weeds, means we get to dive into different budgets so we can make sure that we're getting the funding for necessary infrastructure needs like these pop-up hospitals, but also some of the equipment needs. So the president acted over the weekend in a way that I believe the governor was waiting for so he can come out with this stay-at-home order, as he just did, and be in a slightly better position. Now, we've got some text messages coming in. And, you know, the 206 writes, well-scripted speech by the governor. He struck the right tone. I mostly agree with that. I agree with that. I think it was clear and concise and calm. And those are the three C's I think you need when talking about a public health crisis. You could even add consistency and message to that. Then we can go with four C's, but that's probably a little bit too many. So if you're just joining us, the breaking news is Governor Jay Inslee just now announced a stay-at-home order. It's effective immediately. So what they're expecting for you to do is stay indoors as best as you can, unless you have to leave specifically to go to the grocery store, to go to the doctor, to go to the pharmacy, maybe just to get some, just a few minutes outside of exercise for your mental health and physical health. For the most part, the expectation is you're staying inside. We need to stop the growth of the coronavirus. Now, there's some questions coming in, and they will continue to come in until we get this order officially from the governor as to whether or not a business might qualify as an essential service. And someone asks a fair question, whether or not hotels are considered an essential service. And I don't know. I don't know. And the governor and public health officials have to be very clear to these businesses to make sure that they know whether or not they're going to be impacted by this. We know for sure healthcare services are not impacted by this order. We know that banks are not going to be closed. We know that restaurants that offer to-go options, pickup options, or delivery options, they're not going to be closed. And that's very, very important, right? Because that is a particular industry, the restaurant industry, that has been hit very, very hard by this. But there are also some businesses that definitely are not going to be able to open in any capacity for at least the next 2 weeks. And we talked a little bit about it on the show last week. Barbershops, for example, salons, estheticians. And those are workers who don't usually, depending on where they work, have paid sick leave. A lot of times they're independent contractors that rent out a booth from a bigger business, from a bigger piece of property, and they kind of work independent. And so this means, at least for the next 2 weeks or two more weeks from what they've already done, they're not going to have any customers. The 615 asks, do takeout restaurants remain open and who will staff them? Yes, takeout restaurants will remain open, and the staff members who work there are deemed essential staff members. The same thing with grocery stores. Grocery stores will stay open. They did, in this announcement, the governor did mention that if you are deemed an essential employee or an essential business, you still have to implement some rules of at least 6 feet, keeping people from within 6 feet of each other. Now, obviously, that gets a little bit difficult when we're talking about grocery stores. He made the point again, and we'll make the point again, that we do not have a crisis in the grocery store industry. We do not have a crisis of whether or not we're going to miss out on toilet paper at Costco. You will get your toilet paper. You will get your food. You will get your medicine. The supply chain is healthy. The problem we've run into over the course of the last couple of weeks, a whole bunch of people going into a grocery store and trying to purchase one very specific item. Everyone is doing it at once, and you end up going into the store and you see empty shelves. It doesn't mean that you cannot get those items. The items are still there. They just need to get restocked. Now, the 360 and producer Peyton, if you can get some of these questions from 1-800-465-8770, I'll try to answer as many as I can as I go through this live. And again, you have any questions at home, send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. I will try to answer as many as I can. They say, can Uber Eats and other delivery platforms continue to operate? Yes, according to the rules that were just outlined by the governor, if you are providing a service like that, you should be able to operate. Now, he didn't specifically say Uber Eats and those kinds of delivery services. So it's certainly possible that we're going to get an update on that guidance. Another one said, can I go to the, can I drive to the river and go fly fishing by myself? That technically is probably okay from a health perspective, but he does not want you doing that. And I understand why he doesn't want you doing that. Again, the stay-at-home order should be taken as this. It is serious enough to warrant we ask you to not go outside unless you absolutely have to. Do you have to go fly fishing? No, you don't. So stay at home. If you are getting a little stir crazy, I get it. I get it. I was home all day for 2 days straight. Well, 3 nights straight, starting Friday night. I made an effort not to leave the apartment for anything, and I was going nuts. At some point, you kind of just want to get out. Now, technically, I could have gone outside and gone for a walk, but you know what? Exercise, who needs it? I chose not to. Now, if you're someone who wants to go fly fishing just because you want to get out of the house, I get it. Don't. Go out of the house, go for a little bit of a walk, making sure that you're keeping within at least 6 feet of each other, and make sure that you're getting around that way. Now, he did also mention that transportation is not going to be impacted by that. So Sound Transit, for example, will be open. Metro buses will be open. SeaTac will be open. But as we've seen over the course of the last week, some of them went into place today at Metro, for example. They've cut down on a lot of the services that they offer because, frankly, not a lot of people are using them. Now, someone else in the 360 says family birthday party with less than 10 people. I don't think you should do it, but they're not going to go and knock on your door. That's another important part of this because I saw some folks over the course of the weekend, because I've been reporting on this pretty nonstop for the last week and a half. We were breaking some stories this weekend. They were asking whether or not the police are going to do anything. Are they going to enforce this? We heard from folks who were concerned about the National Guard being called up. And the answer is no. Now, it can be enforced by law, right? He made that point. It can be enforced by law. However, the governor is expecting you to cooperate voluntarily. I am expecting you to cooperate voluntarily. You need to do what's right for your entire family, for your neighborhood, for your community. And right now, what's right is listening to the guidance that we're getting from Governor Jay Inslee and, frankly, from the president. So here's the breaking news. Citing the rapid growth of coronavirus cases in the state of Washington, just exceeding 2,200 cases here and 110 deaths, Governor Jay Inslee announced a stay-at-home order, and it's going to be in place for at least 2 weeks. As the 860 texts in, there's no way any of this is enforced. That is correct. We had Adam Fortney on the show just moments ago. He's a Snohomish County sheriff. He said there's no expectation on his part that he's going to enforce, meaning he's not going to go door to door, knocking on doors, making sure there's no one in there who shouldn't be there. If they see you wandering on the streets, they're going to assume that you're going to a restaurant for a pickup or to the doctor's office or for groceries, so they're not going to enforce it. However, if, for example, a whole bunch of kids are at a park playing basketball, they might get involved and say, no, 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 get out, you can't do this. Life is going to change for the vast majority of you for at least the next 2 weeks, more than you thought it would, more than what we've experienced in the last 2 weeks. And you have to come to terms with that, and you have to be prepared for this. None of this nonsense about a totalitarian government. That's not what we have. This is not an abuse of power. You may disagree with it, but it is perfectly legal. We grant governors, not just here in Washington, but all across the country, great leverage during a public health crisis. And that's what we're in right now. That's what we're in right now. Now, another text message coming in at 206. Our building contractor staying at home. Now, unless it's emergency work that's being done, the expectation, according to what the governor said, is yes, they will be staying home. You can continue to operate in the capacity of your job if you're telecommuting. That is still appropriate. And of course, if you work during an essential industry or business, healthcare services, critical manufacturing, childcare providers, financial services, grocery stores, the media, we're still going to be operating. We're taking your questions at 1-800-465-8770. We're going to get to as many as we can via text. 1-800-465-8770. Plus, we're going to check in with the city of Bellingham.